welcome to the Highway Podcast, fastest growing podcast in Southwest Missouri. I don't think I've ever said hello.
No.
That sounded kind of weird, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello. Hello, my good fellows.
Yeah.
But no, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time out of your day to check it out. We do have a pretty good episode. I'm pretty excited about this. It's been a month or two in the making, I think.
Yeah.
So we've got a guest on here. I'll get him introduced here in just a second. Bird is not with us on this. I think he said he had something important to do, and I believe he was actually cleaning out his closet. Does that sound right?
Yes. Well, it is Christmas time. I think there was some closet cleaning as well as some dollhouse manufacturing.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give him any credit for the dollhouse, so we'll just say he's
washing his hair.
Yeah. He chose to clean out his closet versus be a part of us tonight. So anyway, I'll introduce the Smee, looking good in a red shirt, red hair, and red hot attitude.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. That was a pretty good intro, that was right? It is the Smee. Smee, what up?
Oh, nothing. Just jamming to my song, my walk-up song. That piano riff was probably the first thing I should learn on a piano.
Or just get a piano and actually learn anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the one key that you just like hit repeatedly, so I think I could probably figure it out.
Okay. All right, anything else going on? You got your Christmas socks on?
Actually, these are not Christmas socks, but they are red, so these are 1984 socks.
All right, we'll just gloss over that. I'm not really interested in what's beyond that, but... Cool. All right. You excited for the epi?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it'll be a good one. I think I'll learn a lot.
Yeah, me too. I'm pretty amped up for this. So I've got a lot of guys interested in this epi, so I'm pretty excited, if you will. You want to give me an intro?
Yeah.
I'll do it myself.
Intros, self-intros.
It's me. Little 38 special,
yeah,
Trooper with an attitude.
That's true. I think, isn't that on the Drunk Hunting playlist we made?
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like that's where I've heard it before.
Yeah, somebody put it on there. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to the actual reason that we're here.
For the season.
What?
The reason for the season.
It is 5 days till 4 days till Christmas, but that doesn't matter. But I want to introduce a friend of mine, a previous work colleague, and we'll go further into that here in just a second. But let me get him pulled up here. I'm going to introduce my boy. Let's go see if he's even paying attention. He's probably just walked off. That would have been actually pretty classic here. So, all right, for our guest this party, we're going to have Joey Day. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Very good.
Got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Classic.
Yeah, I didn't know there was a theme.
Classic. It's all about the troops this time. What up, Joey?
There you go. All you know, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so the first time I heard, I didn't even know that song existed until they had me work the state fair. And remember that bar there at the bottom of the T?
Yeah.
It's like called Hacienda or something like that. I think. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, I didn't ever get into that one, but yeah. No, is that where you heard it the first time?
Yeah, so at the end of the night... when they were closing down, because you know all of us were standing outside of the bar, ready to escort people out, they would play that song for us, and just how kind of them.
Mm-hmm. Who is that? Who sings that?
Junior Brown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Junior Brown. That's really, I think, his only main song.
That's a good one there. So I have got the cops called on me for singing that too loud one night down in Florida, too.
Oh, okay. We may have to dive into that story.
We'll unpack that later.
I'm guessing on vacay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Were you with a bunch of other troops, or was it just you?
No, I was the only trooper there. It was just a bunch of friends from here in Westphalia that we decided, hey, let's take our families down, actually three families down to Florida for a week. And the second day there, we decided to tie one on. We're sitting out on the patio, and they're like, hey, let's sing your song. So we started singing it, and the neighbors called us because it was 2 minutes before quiet time. And
oh, my goodness.
Got us in trouble.
The song's only like 2 minutes and like 13 seconds long, I think. So.
Well, yeah, you know they were singing it like fully coherent and to completion, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure everybody understood the words that were being said.
Oh, yeah. Same chorus, fourth time, different note.
Yeah.
All howling.
I love it. All right, so I kind of gave you a little bit of an introduction. I don't know how much, like I said, you want me to say or to not say, but for those listening, you kind of want to give yours a little bit of a background, kind of about yourself, and then we'll kind of talk about why you're here, and we'll kind of go from there. And we obviously, I want to ask you if you pooped your pants. I already told you that, so.
Okay, yeah. So, Joey Day, I am trying to make sure that I can hear everything that's being said here, but I started the patrol in 1994, but even before that, I knew I wanted to either be an attorney or a trooper, and I didn't want to sit behind a desk every day. So I ended up going the trooper route, and that's because my father was one as well. He retired from the patrol a few years after I got on, actually after I got promoted to sergeant. He's like, you will not outrank me. I will be retiring.
Oh, wow.
So, he didn't want me to outrank him. So grew up in the patrol family, so they say, knew a lot about it, knew that's what I wanted to do. Got on the patrol and still single, living on my own with mom and dad because I was working in a law firm at the time and still going through college. So they put me where they needed me, not where I wanted to go. I didn't get any of my choices like we do. Nowadays you get your three picks. I tried to get one of my three picks, but didn't get any of them. They put me where they needed me, and that was down in Versailles. And I did end up really enjoying it down there and still have friends there. So spent 5 years down in Versailles, got on the SWAT team, became a reconstructionist, became a driver instructor. And all that happened around 98, 99. And then right at my 5 year mark, got promoted to corporal over in Gascony in Osage County. Spent a year and a half there and did a lateral transfer up to Cooper and Howard. And spent another 6 years on the road before I transferred to the academy as an instructor because typical cop, go through a divorce, needed to have a more set schedule so I could keep custody of kids. So I went to the academy. I always had a passion for teaching too. I was a substitute teacher in Morgan County as well as Cooper County while I was still working the road. So liked teaching, liked being in front of people. Not really, but I did it. And so the academy was something that I could do. Had all the training for reconstruction, had all the training for driver training as an EVOC instructor, and a couple other miscellaneous things. So that's actually what they were looking for when I applied in 2006. In January 2006, went to the academy. Was there until June of this year, and had my son called me up one day and said, hey, I need you to come help me. And he'd been trying to get me to go for about a year, and I was like, nah, I got another 2 years. I want to hang out for another 2 years and go in July of 26. And he's like, no, I really need you to come help me with my company. And I was at a spot in my career where I was like, you know what, I'm tired of trying and not getting anywhere. And people kept telling me, hey, you're doing a great job. But just for some reason, I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And not that I was looking for promotion. I wasn't able to help the people like I wanted to help them.
So yeah. And
I'll go help my son.
Yeah. You and I kind of even talked about that when you were at the academy. You know, we had a few conversations, right? So yeah, I remember you talking about that, and it kind of bothered you too that you know, you weren't able to, I shouldn't say weren't able, but as much as you would like to help, you know, the people under you, me being one of those, by the way. So, and that's something I guess I'll say here. So you were actually, when I went through the academy, you were an instructor. And then I worked the road, transferred to the academy, and I think you were my lieutenant when I showed up, right? Isn't that how that went?
So I didn't get promoted to lieutenant until, 17 or 19, I can't remember.
That would have been about right. We moved up there in
2017.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because I transferred up there June 1 of 18, and I thought that you were my lieutenant when I showed up, because it was you and...
Yeah.
Belowski. So that's right. Yeah.
Belowski.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I
transferred. So 2017 is when I got promoted to lieutenant there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That was cool. So yeah, that was kind of neat that I was able to, like I said, you were my instructor, then able to actually work with you and under you. So, and you were actually my DWI instructor when I went through the academy, and then I went up there to be the DWI instructor.
Let's rephrase that a little bit. I wasn't really your instructor because you helped me in the class quite a bit as a recruit. So
I don't even know what you're talking about.
That was my first. Yeah, sure. Former DRE coming through the academy. The new guy who just went through Borkenstein School of Alcohol coming in and trying to teach because the prior full-time instructor that was the lead in that got promoted out of the academy. So, you know, they're like, hey, you've already been to Borkenstein. Go ahead and teach it. And I relied heavily on you to correct some of the things that I was doing wrong in class just to make sure that I was on track with what I was teaching because I wanted it to be right.
Yeah, and I remember you and I talked about this too. I thought you were trapping me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, the instructors would always trap me. I'm like, this dude. This dude's trapping me. I'm not saying a freaking peep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you went to Borkenstein before you were a trooper?
No, Joey went to Borkenstein.
Oh, okay.
Right, you went to the alcohol school right before you took over the DWI part, right?
Yes, yeah. So as the former lead instructor for DWI was on the list, he was like, hey, I need some help. And it was 2015. No. When did you go through the academy?
When did I go, 17?
It was 15.
No, it was 15. I always say 17, but it was 15, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. So 2014, I went through Borkenstein Alcohol School, and then in 2015 is when he got promoted out, and that's when I had to take the course over.
Yeah, because actually he was technically the DWI instructor when I showed up, and then I think he was promoted out during my class, and then I think looking back, I could tell he was kind of sprung on you a little bit. So, but no, you did a great job. I had fun, and you made it really good and interesting, and I appreciate that. So, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because you had been like for 6 years prior to going to the academy.
Yeah,
right?
I think
did we
talk
about that.
Yeah, I think it was 6 years.
And you were a DRE already at that point.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but no, it was good. I enjoyed it. Something else I was going to ask you about. It'll come back to me.
Well, I know I want to ask about why we call Versailles. Oh. Do you know the history behind that?
She's about to hit us with some nerds.
No,
sorry, I couldn't hear that. Sorry,
the pronunciation of Versailles, like when we lived up there, always threw me for a loop. Do you know why it's pronounced like that?
I don't, because when I got my assignment, I said Versailles. Where's that?
Yeah,
and that's Captain J.D. Byron was like, "No, it's pronounced Versailles."
Yeah,
you're gonna go to Versailles.
So. Well, that's what's like when we moved up there. Yeah, people kept saying it, and I was like, "No, that's not. It's Versailles."
Yeah, Joey was right.
What do you mean?
He said when he transferred there, he was like, why am I going to Versailles? Or where's this Versailles?
Yeah.
And then incorrectly corrected him to Versailles.
Yeah. I get it. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Because when we lived up there for the first, I would say, 2 years, I worked at a hospital and had a clinic. And I kept for saying Versailles. Like, the Versailles Clinic. And they're like, no, it's Versailles. And I'm like,
no, it's not.
I would like to disagree.
Well, cool. All right. So, one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on anyway, to be honest with you, but I think your expertise is right in line with one of the episodes we wanted to record, which is this one, which involves a chase, or I guess I'll give you I'll give the kind of the Reader's Digest version, and then obviously you'll probably go into a little more into it, and we can talk about it a little bit. But it was back in April of this year, if my date is correct, where a Michigan State Trooper, or a call of a wrong way driver comes out. I'm just going off the video here. A call of a wrong way driver appears to me to be an interstate. Or at least a two lane divided highway, or two lanes both directions divided with a center median. And the person is driving in the opposite lanes against traffic. What are you laughing at? Did I explain it that way?
No, that you went, like you went report mode real quick, but that's fine. It's very descriptive. Well,
Joey knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say that.
I know. I did too. It just really official. Your whole tone changed.
Yeah. So anyway, in the video, you can see what appears to be other law enforcement traveling in the correct direction in the right lanes. It seems to be paralleling the driver at the time, and then at one point, Joey, it looked to me like when you could see someone also behind her driving the wrong direction, and I couldn't tell what agency or whatever that was.
So that would have been the city agency that had started the pursuit or attempt to stop the vehicle. And that's who both of those vehicles were. Those were city agencies. One paralleling on the correct side of the road, and one following on the wrong side of the road.
Okay, gotcha. And then eventually the trooper, again, I'm just giving you the Reader's Digest version, we can go deeper into it, gets to what appears to be a crossover, and he says a couple times on the radio, if he gets a chance, he's going to take it out. So basically there's no traffic coming, the wrong way driver passes his location. It looks to me like the city officer allows him to get behind the wrong way driver. And then he drives on the shoulder and pits out the vehicle, I would say within, 10 seconds? Maybe 15 seconds after getting behind her. And pits her out, eventually makes contact with her, arrests her, and then reads Miranda, completes the DWI investigation, and then arrests her for, or DUI, I think they call it up there, but basically impaired driving. Does that sound like kind of the Reader's Digest version, Joey? Did that kind of hit the high points there, I guess?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And then I guess also I should go into your background of why it's important that you're talking about this, because I don't even think that I did, because you were actually our subject matter expert in pursuits. I don't remember how many years that was, but for a while, right?
Yeah, since 2010, I was a subject matter expert for the state of Missouri for POST on driver training.
That's right. So, 14 years, essentially-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, too, I want to say is we're not here necessarily to critique, if you will. I'm looking for answers as to why this trooper was suspended for 30 days. And I am obviously a biased opinion.
So
here.
I'm guessing that he already knows the outcome of the video.
Yeah,
he knows now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we're essentially going to talk about it. And again, you know, I'm just curious because I think Joey's going to give me perspectives from both sides here. I know that he's going to shoot me straight and everybody listening straight. Now, change my mind? Probably not. But so anyway, what's your kind of, where do you want to start at? Kind of at the beginning of the video here where he's initially... looks like trying to catch up to him.
Yeah, so let's start at the beginning of it, because that's the key to this, whether it's justified or not justified as far as a pursuit goes, is was he requested? And at the very beginning of the video, you hear dispatch saying, "We've got a wrong way driver," and I can't remember the name of the town. They're requesting assistance.
Okay.
All right. So right there tells you, okay, I'm needed. I can be in an emergency mode to go and assist in this pursuit, chase, wrong way driver, whatever it is.
Okay, so he gets requested. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
So that's the first criteria that you look for.
Go ahead, Ryan.
So I was going to say, and you also oppose, or you also were an expert witness in several cases. We don't have to go into that, but this is the kind of the stuff that you're looking for as an expert witness when you were with the patrol. Is that kind of what we're following here?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, do you have something to say?
Yeah, no, so that's not only to reduce the officer's liability, but also reduce the liability to the agency since and the state, since I was the SME as well.
Okay, gotcha. So he has been officially requested to assist by whether it's, you know, county. It looks like you said it appears to be city behind the wrong way driver. And what's kind of the next thing you're looking for?
So that allows him to run lights and siren in an emergency mode in order to catch up to parallel to be involved in that specific incident. So at that point, he turns his lights and siren on. He responds to the call. And I think it's like an 8-minute drive where, mm-hmm. you know, he has the lights and siren on. He's passing cars, but he's doing so safely. He's using proper driving techniques as far as apexes, which is, you know, trying to straighten the corners out as much as you can to reduce time, reduce the possibility of improper vehicle dynamics, so he doesn't lose control. So I think his driving to the scene was on par. He was doing a great job on that, paying attention to the other traffic and doing what he needed to do while he was responding to the incident.
Yeah, and appeared, again, I watched it, but appeared updating, updating radio on locations. I didn't see, again, I'm not the expert here, but I didn't see anything to me that would go, oh, wow, he passed that car and that was dangerous. Like, it appeared that he was in control the entire time. Emotions didn't appear high. I didn't hear any sort of, you know, speaking fast. He was very calm, very cool. I agree. So far, we are on the same page.
Yeah, and like you said, he was updating, dispatch was updating him, dispatch was updating his sergeant, and any other responding troopers that were on the way to assist in that call. So, yeah, responding to the scene, great job. And then once he got to the scene where he caught up to him, he notified dispatch where he was. Again, like you said, calm, very clear, very concise. He said, I've got one officer on my side, another officer behind the car, in pursuit. So I think he said in pursuit. I can't remember for sure, but
right,
he did call out the two cars, one on the correct side of the road, one on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah, and it appeared to me that the driver or the officer that was not the trooper that was driving the correct direction, from the video, it looks like he was kind of driving ahead of her so she could see his lights. And again, I don't know how long this went on. The video went on for at least, 9 minutes before the pit was made, or somewhere 9 to 10 minutes. So I'm assuming that they were at least chasing her for that long, because he wouldn't be responding, for no reason. So, that's kind of what played in my mind as well, is, okay, he's got, the driver's also seen someone on the other side, no reaction, and then you can see someone behind her and no reaction. And I don't know how long the driver behind her, or excuse me, the officer was behind her, she didn't stop.
That was going to be my clarifying question on what the no reaction meant, but no reaction from the driver.
Yeah,
of the two officers already engaged.
Correct. So there's an officer directly behind her driving mm-hmm. the wrong direction. Yes. She's not stopping. And there's an officer paralleling her. Again, appeared to me, I don't know, 50, 100 yards. You may have a better perspective than I do, Joey, for that. And no reaction from either one.
Okay, that's just what I wanted to clarify. I figured that's what it was. So, but just wanted to clarify.
Okay, so we're caught up to
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so that, yeah. And like you said, I don't know how long they were in pursuit. They say on the video the towns and the mile markers mm-hmm. and things like that. But not being familiar with the area, I don't know exactly how long. But the video itself does last for just over 9 minutes. So it had to have been at least 9 to 15 minutes that they were behind her, just because of communication issues and
right.
getting in touch with the different agencies.
Right. Right. So then he gets to I'll go ahead and kind of start out. So he gets to that crossover, and from what I remember, he had notified, I assume, his sergeant. He had said twice that if I get the chance, I'm going to take her out. Or I think he said take her out or stop her, or I don't think he used the word pit, but something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So as he caught up to him, the officer that was paralleling it on the correct side of the road stayed in the passing lane, and he went ahead and passed that officer to get out in front even more so than what he was. He or she, I don't know who was in that vehicle, but passed him, got to the crossover, and as he was approaching the crossover, says, hey, I'm going to take this car out if I get the chance, right? Gets to the crossover, and like you said, as soon as he gets to the crossover, within 2 or 3 seconds, you see a vehicle go past him in the wrong lane of traffic, going the wrong direction. He pulls out behind him, stays on the shoulder, and then calls that out. Says, hey, I'm behind the vehicle. I'm on the shoulder. I'm going to take this car out if I get a chance. At that point, you see one, maybe two cars go in the opposite direction. He gets into the middle lane, pits her out, successful pit, first attempt, gets him stopped, and as you said, gets her out of the vehicle with the assistance of the other agency and arrests her for driving while impaired after he does the sobriety test.
Right. So I want to go back just a little bit. So when he gets to, and this is obviously just your opinion, just for a non-official podcast, I'm just asking your opinion as a driving expert and, a DWI instructor as well. So you have a, and I think it came out as a, I don't remember if it came out as a possible intoxicated driver or if they just said wrong way driver. So it could have just been wrong way driver. I'll just say that. What's your thoughts, or I guess what's your opinion if, and I'll just put myself in the example, you're my supervisor and someone has been following this wrong way driver for an extended period of time. Let's just assume 8 to 9 minutes because that's what the video is. And I come across the radio and I say, hey, if I get the chance, I'm going to take her out. Like, what's kind of your thoughts about my or that trooper's mentality at the time of, hey, I've got to stop this immediately?
So a couple different things, right? The training, the experience that I've had, the years of teaching liability, the time zone on the trial or on the stand trying to defend people on their driving. First thing, it's like, okay, you're going to take them out, but think about your policy, right? You're going to save lives, and we need to save lives, but we also need to think about policy and case law. And that's the administrative side of things, right? So you've already caught up to the chase. You see them. You see someone already on the wrong side of the road. You can get to a crossover, take them out. Yeah, take them out. Just T-bone them, right?
Yeah.
T-bone them, take them out. You're going to save lives. Okay? But I don't know if he just didn't have the time or wasn't thinking, hey, I need to get up to the next crossover so I have more time. If I had heard that, and I was on the road as a supervisor hearing, hey, I'm going to take them out, my first thought would be make sure you're far enough in front of them so you're going the correct direction. So go up to the next crossover, then come back or stop traffic there, get your spike set up there or something. Don't cross into the wrong lane of traffic. And the reason for that is Feist versus Simonson, right? It's an Eighth Circuit court case that deals with a stolen vehicle, right? So this is just a wrong-way driver in this case that we're talking about, right? Feist versus Simonson is a stolen vehicle where pursuit ensues, and then someone ends up dying because of the wrong-way driver and because the police continued the chase when it became dangerous, right? Over a simple, what the court called a simple stolen vehicle. Okay, so the courts found the officers civilly liable, 14th Amendment violation, because they were driving recklessly without due regard. And our statutes, our laws say you must exercise due regard when in an emergency mode. So to save the officer, right, I personally would have said, hey, make sure you get in front of them. Make sure you get in front of them.
Okay.
Before you take them out.
Okay. And then I guess I should also explain to the listeners, you and I are talking about Missouri laws, right?
Correct.
Neither you nor I are well-versed in Michigan statutes or anything like that. So we're simply basing this off of, Missouri case law, Missouri, the policy you and I are familiar with, et cetera.
And that is specific to Missouri, and it's written directly into our policy also that we will not drive the wrong direction
in a pursuit or on a roadway. So following policy as well.
Okay, Kayla, go ahead.
But was, again, what, I Missouri since policy. Haven't seen the video. So is there additional traffic?
So in the video, when the and you can't see how many cars the wrong way driver passes because it's the trooper's dash cam, so it's staring straight ahead on his car. But when he gets in the crossover and then also drives the wrong direction on the shoulder, the wrong way driver passes one car. So in the in the opposite lane are coming at her, and then there are, I don't know if you noticed this, I'm sure you did, but there are two cars traveling towards her up ahead. So that we know that there's going to be at least two more cars passing this wrong way driver.
Okay.
Does that kind of make sense to you?
Yeah. I just didn't know how, I didn't know what time of day or anything, so I didn't know if there was traffic on.
Yeah, this. I guess I should. It's night. It appears to be early morning. I don't remember the time, Joey. I don't know if you have that remember that, but I can't remember.
Yeah,
the time.
I don't know. She said she was working at a bar, or so after bar closes. So
I've actually got the video.
I'm assuming 2-3 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, because she's coming from Detroit, I believe, is what she said. So here's the body cam. Looks like he's talking with her. This is after the pit at 3:55 a.m. is when he's doing field sobriety tests. So I'm going to assume 3:45 a.m.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It's a good question. It's a good good thing to consider here. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then you talk about our policy not driving the wrong direction. So I would I guess my question is because when I look at this video and I look at what I would do or what I would want my guys to do, number one, be safe, right? We don't want to get hurt in the process of this, right? My thing is, I think he saw an opportunity. I think he saw an opportunity to end it, and he ended it very quickly. So for me, from a liability standpoint and a policy standpoint, again, speaking just for myself, I really don't care about policy at that point. That's just my opinion, right? And I'm sure I'd be written up, and it is what it is. So I guess my question to you, Joey, would be, is there ever a time where we go, hey, listen, this risk is worth the reward, even if there's punishment with that? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And like you said, you got to take the court terms, totality of circumstance, right? Excuse me. So totality of circumstances, you get those going and you can mitigate some of that liability, mitigate some of those things, and also justify some of our actions that we're taking at the time. So in him saying in doing what he did, he's already notified everyone what's going on. He's notified his supervisors what's going on, right? So at that point, is it on the supervisor or is it still on the officer? And I would argue for both, right?
Right.
Did he do a good job? Yeah, he made a very successful, very very precise pit or TVI or whatever you want to call it. He stopped the threat before any other innocent bystanders would have gotten hit.
And does that come
again,
into
mitigating? Oh, sorry, mitigating. What was that? Sorry.
I didn't interrupt you. I apologize for that. So I was going to say, does that the fact that he passed, or she, the wrong way driver, does the fact that she passed an oncoming car, in addition to lights and sirens behind her, does that kind of escalate that when you pass a wrong way driver? You go, okay, she's definitely not stopping here. Come on, you're passing a wrong way driver, a driver driving the opposite direction. You've got to know at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, does that come into play of like, hey, because that's when he took her out, was right after that. I mean, it was within seconds, I think, of the other driver. Does that come into play there?
So, yes and no, right? And this is what the review board is going to look at whenever they're looking at discipline or policy violations or what have you, right? You already have an officer that's on the wrong side of the road. Why do you want to have two officers following on the wrong side of the road when you've already passed them once, right?
pass them, get ahead of them a little bit further, set up spikes, set up a roadblock, but set up a whatever you want, right? Put your car in front of them and just wait. Or like I was saying to begin with, you know, sit at that crossover. And again, do we want to T-bone them? Probably not. But is it going to save lives? Yeah, you're going to save a life by T-boning them too.
Yeah.
At that point in time, you're justified in using deadly force, right? Because a vehicle is deadly force on the wrong side of the road. But again, going back to Missouri law, Missouri policy, we can't drive on the wrong side of the road. Otherwise, the liability can fall back on us, unless there's mitigating circumstances, which, like you said, in this case, number of vehicles on the roadway at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:45 in the morning, how long it's going to take him, what's the speed that pursuit was going at, right? And it appeared to me that it was only 40-50 miles an hour tops.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer was asked by a supervisor after the pit was over, he was like, well, how fast were you going? And the trooper that did the pit said, I don't know, I didn't look down at my speed, I saved lives, I took her out.
Yeah, I love that quote too. He was like, I don't even know how fast I was going, sir, I was just wanting to save lives. Yeah. For me, I'm like, dude, that freaking says it all to me. But did you have a question?
Oh, two, actually. So TBI, does that have T-bone in it? What does that stand for?
It's basically PIT, just a different way to say it.
But what does it stand for? Because it stands for something very different in healthcare.
Yeah, so PIT is precision immobilizing technique. For some agencies, that's what they call it. TVI, Oklahoma calls it TVI, which is tactical vehicle intervention.
TV, okay.
It's a thing, just different acronyms.
No, I thought you said TBI, as in boy.
Well, we're a few whiskeys and DiSeronos deep.
Well, you know, maybe I immediately went to a traumatic brain injury, and I was like, well, yeah, we shouldn't be signing up for that. But my next question was, and it's probably not relevant to you all, but just as a onlooker, did she pass like exits to get off the interstate?
She did, but they would have been wrong way. Like, it would have been, you know, basically making a complete turnaround to get on the exit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But yeah, she passed several exits.
I mean, like, even if she went up the wrong exit, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, if she wasn't even acknowledging that she was going the wrong way.
Yes, she passed several exits.
Okay.
In fact, I think
trying to get off of the road.
Yeah, right there before the crossover, I think the trooper said he was at like Eureka or something exit, if that sounds familiar. But I know there was at least one, and I believe, again, multiple exits.
Okay.
That she could have taken. And it's a two-lane highway with a 12-foot shoulder probably, and a 2-foot inside shoulder. Plenty of room to turn a freaking
Yui.
Yeah, it was like a Chevy Cobalt or something. Uh-huh. Some small car.
Yeah, she was oblivious to anything going on around her. Okay. She wasn't paying attention to what was behind her. She was in the right lane. Right lane meaning right side of the roadway, not the correct lane.
Mm-hmm.
But she was driving on the right side of the roadway as if she was going down a two-lane road or you know, an undivided highway. This was a totally divided highway with a center Jersey barrier down the middle of it. So,
For someone like you, does it matter what she was afterwards? So, like, what I mean is the fact that she was what appeared to me extremely intoxicated. In fact, towards the end of the video, they talked about her peeing, that she had peed her pants. She was so drunk. And they put down, like, trash bags in the trooper's car. Does that play a factor into decisions and stuff that are made, or is it only everything leading up to the pit?
The information as the officer had it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Which, and maybe I'm wrong, Joey, here. I think it's pretty safe. Or I'll just say maybe it's not safe. But if I get a call of a wrong way driver at 3:45 in the morning and where officers are trying to stop her already, I feel pretty confident in going, this driver's probably effed up. I mean, just based off of experience and history. What do you think, Jim?
It's one of two things. They're drunk, or they're old and they have dementia set on, they're lost. One of those two things.
Right. And I was going to say the same thing. It's either drunk or an elderly person who has no freaking clue what's going on.
Yeah, because from a civilian standpoint, I could see tired being a reason for getting on the interstate the wrong way, but then you immediately, like, first time you saw headlights in the wrong direction, you would probably be able to track, like...
Or a cop car behind you?
Yeah, or a cop car. So that was my question of how long and how many exits, because, again, I can make a wrong turn tired, but I couldn't drive 8 minutes in the wrong way, probably tired.
So I guess going back to my question, does that play a factor into what happened afterwards, that, hey, she's so effed up, she's peeing on herself?
So, again, it goes back into that totality circumstance. That could have been brought up in and I don't know how their disciplinary procedures go there in the state that they were in, but that could have been brought up during that time. Hey, you know, this is another aggravating circumstance that we know she was oblivious to the police behind her. She was oblivious to the police beside her for at least 9 minutes before I even showed up. So therefore, to save lives, this is what I determined was the safest route because of less traffic, because of and he may or may not have known where the next crossover was. If he knew where the next crossover was and it was 3 miles down the road,
right?
Okay, I'm going to hit this crossover. I didn't have enough time to get out there, set up spikes.
That's a good point.
Or do that. But I do know if they're going this slow, I can get up to her and I can pit her quick.
Yeah, that
needed to be brought out.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say that needed to be brought out at the disciplinary board if it went to that. It may have been. I don't know.
Yeah, it did. It definitely went to the disciplinary board. I've seen a redacted version of the disciplinary action. But yeah, that's another thing I didn't think about. I mean, that may be your only chance in the next 3-5 miles. To get across that barrier to stop her. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So I'd be very curious to see.
So in regards to the disciplinary action, what were the grounds for discipline? Like, was it anything that we talked about, or is it any of the factors?
And I hate to even talk about it because I don't know enough about it, but I do know several guys that work for that agency, and we have discussed this before. So I'm just going to say, for my understanding, it was that they have a no pursuit policy. So he pursued. And then I think it was also, so for that and for, is it unjustified use of force, or maybe they classified it as an excessive force, which to me, and again, Joey, this may come back to you. The force used there was very minimal. I mean, that pit, and I'm not a pit guy, like, I don't, you know, we don't do that here in Missouri, but that thing to me looked gorgeous. He got her at a low speed. I mean, when he pitted her out, she didn't even hit the guardrail.
No. Yeah, that had to have been a slow speed pit just because of, you know, she went from lane one to lane two.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Lane one to lane two, spun out and successful pit. He stayed in lane one. He was in lane two when he started it, came into lane one to pit her. And then she spun into lane two. So, I mean, yeah, very precision. You could tell that he was trained on it. Minimal damage, if any at all, to either of the vehicles that I could have seen, that I saw in the video. So as far as the pit goes, I think that was a proper choice of force. I don't think that was excessive force in this situation because there's oncoming cars approaching.
Yeah.
Now, is it within policy? Don't know. Right.
Yeah. So you said they had a no pursuit period.
That's where the question remains, case law and policy.
Yeah. Again, that's something you and I are not familiar with. But yeah, so from my understanding, it was a policy violation because of the chase, and then a policy violation for the, maybe I shouldn't say policy violation, but they found it to be an excessive use of force. Mm. But looking at it from, here's how I kind of looked at it, is let's just say he doesn't pit her out. And let's just say he doesn't even cross over, right? So let's just say he parallels her and they continue to drive. She continues to drive in the wrong direction. And we know that there was two oncoming vehicles. And let's say that wrong way driver hits one of those two vehicles head on and kills somebody. What do you say to that, Joe? I mean, like, what's your thoughts on... So let's just say that scenario plays out and he that driver hits and kills somebody. I mean, what's your thoughts on... I mean, do you look back and say, oh my gosh, he should have done this, or you know, he did all he could? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so again, going back to your training, your experience, your policy, what you know you can and can't do, right? Our policy says don't travel on the wrong side of the road, right? Did he save a life? Yes. So my thoughts would have been, hey, it's unfortunate that they hit someone and killed someone, but you didn't cause it. So now you and your family are going to be safe from possible litigation because you were within our policy. You were within your justified rights as far as case law in Missouri. And it's hard, right? It's hard to make that decision because I have to view both sides, right? I have to view the side of the trooper that's on the road that's saving lives, but also the administrator, the subject matter expert that's trying to mitigate lawsuits for anyone that comes through our training process.
Yeah.
So it's hard, right? If it happened, would I have done that? Like I told you at the very beginning, I probably would have just T-boned her, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to cause a lot more damage, but at that point in time, deadly force to me is justified. Again, like you said, we're not trained in PIT, so we don't have that option. But we can ram, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah, and I like that you said that, you know, even if you T-boned her, which I'm all for, man, I'll hit, you know, whatever, T-bone head on, whatever you need to do to make this stop. But, you know, let's just say we do that. Well, I think now we're even running a higher risk of injury to ourselves, injury to the other person, property damage, you know, which is honestly the least of my concerns. I don't give a shit about property, but... And then also, you know, my thought was watching the video is, do we know if that city officer is going to slow down to let us in? You know,
And that's where I was going to go. That's where I was going to go next, right? The city guy, right, or county, whoever's behind her, right? Or, you know, you get to that crossover, you decide, hey, I'm going to T-bone her. Well, I don't want a T-bone her because she's coming from my left, so I need to angle my car properly to where I'm not going to get hit on that front quarter of the vehicle to help reduce injury to me. I don't care about injury to you because I'm saving other lives, not necessarily your life.
Right.
But I got to angle my car to where now I'm coming at you with that right front headlight. But also I got another officer coming at me too. What is he or she going to do?
Right.
And yeah, I mean, that right there, you're going to have another crash probably.
Right. And that's where I was a little thrown off is I thought, looking at this video, I thought this was literally best case scenario. It ended with no injuries, no crashes, you know, because I'm assuming like us, we would not consider that a crash since it was an intentional act. I just don't understand how we can, I say we, he, and let's just assume it was in Missouri, can be suspended for that. I mean, that was like best case scenario to me. So I don't understand that side of it.
Yeah.
I guess that's what bothers
was
me.
There so was there like a recommended, like, he should have done that, you know, the Monday morning quarterback kind of thing?
I don't know how their policy board works. Like, there's I don't even know how ours works, to be honest with you, Joey, but I don't do they don't do like, oh, you should have done this, should have done that. They just kind of quote what you did wrong. Isn't that kind of it?
Yeah, so in our review boards, our policy review boards or disciplinary action boards, they get the crash report, they get the pursuit report, they get the use of force report, they get all reports. They go down through there. They sit down with the officer. The officer has a right to have attorney present with them during those if they wish. You go in, you sit down, they tell you, hey, you did this out of policy, this. What justifies it? And they give you a chance to hopefully mitigate some of the liability or violation of policies, and then they take that under advisement and then dole out the punishment from there. So like Ryan, like you were saying, best case scenario, when he was on the wrong side of the road, he called out on the radio, I am on the shoulder of the road. Right. I'm going to take her out. At that point in time, if it's against policy, that supervisor who's listening in should say, terminate, terminate, terminate.
Right.
It didn't happen.
And I thought about that too, because, and again, I don't know how they work. Like, if it's, you know, I know some states it's up to the officer themselves to terminate that, not a supervisor. So I don't know how it works there, but for us, we can be terminated by a supervisor for sure. So that was kind of my next thing is, you know, if it was some sort of egregious violation of policy, should someone have spoken up and said, oh yeah, no, don't do that, terminate, you know, etc. I don't know the trooper's background. Maybe he's a 50-year trooper. I have no idea. But whoever he is, he's a badass, and I like it. But, yeah, I mean, is there some sort of supervisory role there to say, hey, you know, as a supervisor, I'm more familiar with the policy, so don't do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Liability falls back on the supervisor as well as the dispatch. Because dispatch is obligated to notify supervisors. And they were keeping the supervisors up to date on what was happening.
Yeah.
And the supervisors heard over the radio what was happening. So at that point, yeah, the supervisor is responsible for that, those actions as well.
So was there,
if he would have said terminate and he continued on, then yeah, there's, that falls back on the officer. But in my opinion, supervisor has some liability in this case as well.
So is that the case, though? Is the supervisor also reprimanded?
Well, I don't know how that goes, but so the supervisor ended up being on scene very quickly. I don't know if you remember that, because he has, actually the sergeant shows up, what appeared to be a sergeant, and he asked the sergeant to watch the drunk driver, I think, while he did something, or cleaned his seat out. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. So the sergeant was there very quickly. So, I mean, I think it's safe to assume he was at least close. And like Joey said, at least hearing it over the radio, I mean, you're monitoring at that point, right? So it's not like the supervisor was off duty and then all of a sudden came on and was shocked.
Yeah, so I just didn't know if there was any kind of shared accountability in that process, or if we know for sure.
I don't know, Joey. What's your opinion on that?
Say it again. I couldn't hear Kayla.
Oh, I didn't know if there was any shared accountability, that the supervisor also had a suspension or some kind of reprimand for not discontinuing, or if all of the responsibility for the event fell on the trooper that performed the pit.
So if I'm hearing right, you're wanting to know if the supervisor has responsibility over all agencies, is that right?
Well, within just, that pursuit? What, just this situation, if there was any kind of reprimand for the supervisor, do we know?
Or if there should, no, I don't know.
Well, if there should be, I think you said that there should be. I felt like that's what you were saying initially, was that there should be some kind of shared responsibility for not discontinuing the pursuit when he told him he was going to take him out, or he was going to pursue, or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know if the supervisor was reprimanded or anything in this particular case. And I don't know, as far as the other agencies that were involved, if they have pursuit policies, what their policies were, or if they even got reprimanded. But to this agency specific, at a minimum, since a supervisor knew about it, the supervisor needs to take responsibility over the call for service or the actions that are occurring, and make sure that they're within policy. Okay. And if not, they need to tell people to disregard or terminate.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you about another part of this video, and this really doesn't have anything to do with the pursuit. To me, it's a supervisory or leadership issue, I shouldn't say issue, situation. Because in the video, I felt like that when the supervisor gets there, they immediately start this like questioning process of the trooper, like, oh, well, what happened? What's this? What's that? What did you do here? To me, that felt very accusatory in nature, the way those questions were being asked. So I guess just from a leadership standpoint, and again, nothing to do with policy, from a leadership standpoint, how do you feel about that? Because I feel like I'm going, hey, checking on my guy first, hey, you did great. She's drunk. Phenomenal job. And then I think, wait, what are you looking at?
I'm listening.
Oh, she's sitting there laughing at me, I think. Mm-mm. But I don't know. I kind of had a little bit of an issue with that because I'm going, man, this is, we've stopped this thing. Everybody's safe. We got a drunk off the road. I mean, gosh, I'm going, hell yeah, dude. And then we can, I thought we could discuss that a little bit later once we get the car off the road, we get the interstate back open, etc. Do you have any thoughts on just that type of process? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you feel like there was a reason for it, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I'm with you on that. I think he should have checked with the officer, made sure he was okay first, make sure the other officers were okay. Make sure the scene is secure first before he goes, hey, what happened?
Yeah.
How fast were you going?
Yeah.
Were you on the wrong side of the road for how long, right?
Yeah.
So those questions for me, I think could have waited.
Yeah.
Until, yeah, she's in cuffs, she's in your car. Okay, now we need to do this, this, and this. Let's get our paperwork done. But if you notice there towards the end after they get her in the car, they're talking about, hey, this is already in the queue. We've already done this. We've mm-hmm. already got this started. So they're already starting paperwork, mm-hmm. and maybe that's part of their paperwork process. But again, like you said, it seemed kind of off mark
yeah.
as far as timing and then the tone in which it was asked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt. Because from a trooper's perspective, I'm going, okay, now I've got to process a drunk. I've got to do this pursuit report. I've got all these things that I have to do. And I think it's human nature that if I'm automatically feeling accused that I did something wrong, then I think that's going to affect, for me, it would affect my work in the meantime. So like in between when we actually do this interview and all this stuff, because, you know, DWI is a very, detail-oriented thing. You've got breath tests, you've got certain things you got to read, you got to, observe them, et cetera, et cetera. So now I feel like maybe the trooper's mindset has shifted to, oh, crap, I got to worry about getting in trouble versus getting this drunk processed.
So you want to know what it sounds like to me?
Yeah, it did. Sorry, Kayla, go ahead.
No, so what it sounds like to me, again, I didn't hear the questions, but I have worked with a lot of supervisors. So what it sounds like to me is that he wasn't maybe necessarily paying attention prior to the event, but now it has escalated to this situation and he needs to fill in the blanks that he didn't have before. Because again, if there was an 8-minute video, they're pursuing wrong way, he said he was going to pit him. Maybe the supervisor wasn't paying attention before.
Maybe, I don't know.
And so now that it's come to this, we have to fill in the blanks for our little bit of a CYA situation.
Yeah, and that could be it. Again, I don't know. I don't want to speak. And I wouldn't even say, I'm not even trying to critique the supervisor. I'm just asking, from my perspective and a person that has done this job longer than I have, is, was there anything with that sort of questioning that, from our, again, just our opinions, which are, not a whole lot of use, but
and it could be a working supervisor, right? He might have been on his own call or something like that.
That's so true.
Again, I don't know the specifics, but it seems like if I were to show up to a situation as a leader and the first thing I start to do is start to fill in holes for myself, it's because maybe I have missed something in the period of time that I'm personally going to have to speak
yeah.
for.
And maybe that's true. Maybe he was on his own call. You have no idea. But still, I'm just going to speak from a personal point of view that if I'm showing up to an incident like this, my first thing by far, before anything, is checking on my guys. Right? Are you guys good? Second, is the person that we just smashed their car, are they good? Right? We have no injuries here. Are you kidding me? This is great.
Yeah, that seems like a best case scenario from my perspective.
So, hey guys, get the drunk process. I'll be at the office, whatever. What do you guys need? What can I help you with? Can I tow the car? Can I do all these things for you? And let's address this stuff later. That's my opinion. Instead of putting these negative stressors on these dudes that are already in a high stress situation, because I think, Joe, you would agree. I mean, wrong way driver, drunk driver, pitting somebody out, you potentially violated policy. You're already going, I got a lot of crap going on. So I just felt like that was, I don't know. I think your folks, you got to put your folks first.
Yeah, and if you notice, the supervisor was there when he was doing field sobriety.
Yeah.
I think the supervisor was the one that actually handed him the PBT.
Yes.
To utilize, which, you know, he asked him, hey, do you know what the, or asked the female driver, do you know what the illegal limit mm-hmm. is in this state? And she said, yeah, 0.08. And he said, well, you're a 0.17, twice the legal limit.
Yeah.
And then after that is when, you know, they put her in the car, and then a little further conversation starts, and he goes, well, you know, he told the supervisor, well, if this agency's going to discipline me for saving lives, then, you know, and says, I can't remember what else he said on it, but
yeah,
could tell that he is physically and mentally frustrated with the agency at that point.
Oh, 100%, because his quote was, yeah, if this agency's going to hink me up over pitting a wrong way driver, pitting a drunk or something like that, then this agency's really gone downhill. I think that was his quote.
Yeah.
And
exactly. Yeah.
You know, I go ahead.
So do you think that maybe that did more harm than good in that scenario for the review board? Maybe he was trying to like unconsciously argue his case, but ultimately he just got sassy.
There's nothing in policy about getting sassy.
Well, but no formal written in policy, but we all know the unwritten rules of everything.
He probably said something a lot tamer than what I would have said.
Okay. I'm just saying that I don't think any of us are going to maybe disagree that there's sometimes bureaucracy and pettiness that are involved in decision making that might have played a play here.
Right now, Joey's going, I'm glad I'm not a supervisor anymore.
Yeah. So working for my son, and
yeah, you don't got to deal with this
little
nonsense.
Responsibility. Yeah, little responsibility now. So
okay, so big question, big finale question, if you will. And then I actually have a few follow up just questions that are not anything to do with this. In your opinion, as a retired, now homeless looking,
retired and homeless.
With a mop as a haircut, Chiefs wearing, which is unfortunate, shirt. In your opinion, did this guy do the right thing?
In my personal opinion, personal opinion, absolutely. He saw an opportunity. He took the least amount of time to take care of business, and yes, he stopped the wrong way driver in a very short amount of time whenever he arrived on scene. So yeah, great, right? Now, speaking administratively, I'm gonna go back to policy, right?
Right.
I'm here as a supervisor to help you so you don't get sued. So now I'm gonna, I'm gonna question and I'm gonna make sure I review, hey, these are the policies, or like I said before, hey, if you're gonna take them out, make sure you get in front of them. Get in front of them. So just because I know our policy, I know our statutes, I know our case laws, right? And I don't want to see someone that's under me get into a civil litigation that they lose because of a small, minute little thing that they did that saved lives but is against policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it. I've tried defending people on the stand. And there's one thing that came out on a couple different cases that inked the officers up, and it came back to, Joey, what do you train? What do you teach?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what's in our policy. This is what's in our training curriculum. This is what I taught them to do. Did they violate that policy? Yes. And I have to say yes, right?
Okay.
But then they don't let me elaborate to mitigate the circumstances to, right? So.
Here's a follow-up question to that then. Do you think that a restrictive policy hurts us in the long run versus being more general? So here's kind of my question. So kind of playing off what you just said. So if I go into court and you say, or you go into court and you say, yeah, Ryan Hutton violated policy because he did X, Y, and Z in a pursuit, period. Do you think that having a different policy that is more broad, and I guess I would even say more gray, if you will, where there's more officer discretion. Like, does that help you in the long run where you can say, well, he did follow this policy, which is more, you know, again, more broad. You wouldn't say that on the stand, but it is more broad than versus you will never do this. Because that's my opinion as a trooper, I guess, that when I have a policy that says you will never do this, well, you can't policy every situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So what's your thoughts on those types of policies? Like, do you think they should be a little more broad to you know, not quite as descriptive, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so sitting on different boards throughout my career there at the academy, it dealt with, you know, a SPADS committee, so State and Provincial Police Academy Directors. I was on that for many years, and there's been several committees that I've sat on that dealt with policies and procedures and what are the national standards, coming back to the national standards on hey, these are our policies. The national standards are really restricted. This is what you should put in your policy. Most agencies don't follow that. If you're an accredited agency, you have to follow most of it, but not necessarily all of it, unless, like for us, for example, there are some CALEA accreditation things that we have to put in our policy, otherwise we lose our accreditation, right? But those more restrictive policies leads to more confusion and less, I would say, not that I want people to innovate, right?
Yeah.
And make up things, but still, you go back to your training. What are we training you to do? Do the right thing for the right reason to help save people and save lives, yeah. Right? And if you're doing that and you're within that broad policy, I'd say any attorney can help you win that case, right? But if it's a restricted policy, it's going to hurt the officer, and it's going to hurt the agency, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I agree 100%. I think it's just hard to argue on the stand. Oh my gosh, this trooper stopped someone from driving the wrong way who was super drunk, or so drunk she peed her pants. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we talked a little bit with Greg, number two, about it. You know, policies and procedures, and just from my perspective in my world in healthcare, what seemed to be the best mix was a general policy, but then like ethical committee and oversight review for disciplinary action. So like if you have a general policy on, you know, sedation or something, then questionable cases or cases that didn't turn out like you wanted to went to an ethical in a bioethics review to consider all of those gray areas and those factors. Because again, you can't write a policy that is going to encompass the kind of things you see in such a versatile and variable health, like field, like healthcare or law enforcement. So I think, yeah, being able to write a policy that is going to be applicable in every situation in the types of fields that, you know, we're familiar with is just, it's just setting you up for failure and for to ultimately violate said policies.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. And I'm a frustrated guy. You know, I look at those things and I probably am not as much policy as I should be as far as diving into it and believing in it. But I don't know. I just feel like sometimes we try to policy for every situation when you can't. And, you know, I would like to say too that we had well, I guess I won't say that, but there have been guys in our agency that have done very similar things that received an award, and it was actually this year, you know, so.
So I'm interested in that because, to my understanding, you guys have a no pursuit policy.
No, that's not true at all.
Oh, okay.
No. Get out of here with that nonsense. If you ever mention no pursuit again, I swear I'll fire you on the spot.
I thought that was what we just talked about earlier, so my bad.
No pursuit policy is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
No, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm saying.
Yeah, just chase them all, right? Chase them all.
You're damn right. You're damn right. Hey, so kind of on a lighter note here, and I don't even know if you remember this, but let's see. I'll try to talk about it a little bit without going into too much detail. But I was working a detail up in Kansas City, and I got in a pursuit up there. And, God, it was probably about a year and a half before you retired. And I felt like there was something that was like trying to come down on me from that certain area that I was in. And you're like, you came to me. I'm going to give you credit because you came to me and said, hey, kind of what happened here? And I told you exactly what happened, and I think we even kind of looked at the My Pursuit report, and you're like, yeah, I don't think so. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I had been questioned by a couple of different majors on that incident. So, yeah, it was coming down from FOB and trying to field operations. Was like, hey, I don't know if we can approve this pursuit. What do you think? I was like, oh, stand by. Stand by.
Yeah, and I don't know if I
haven't seen the report.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I'm sure I did tell you at the time, but I appreciated you coming to me and allowing me to go, oh, no, this is exactly what happened in the pursuit. And, you know, this is what I, because I think I eventually terminated that pursuit, if I'm not mistaken. And because it was pretty early in the evening. It was in Kansas City, so there's a lot of traffic. But, yeah, I remember then you wrote, I guess you wrote the review. I don't know what you wrote up. As my supervisor, I guess you wrote a review up, and I never heard anything back from it, so I'm guessing it went good.
Yeah, I had to write a review. So I put in there some choice words that this is within policy, and here's the reason why. So,
well, I know you didn't go out of your way to help me, but either way, I still appreciate you taking the time and being reasonable. Because I was shocked. I was like, God, I even terminated this bad boy, and I'm still getting written up. Like, good Lord.
Yeah.
You should have just sent it.
Yeah, I should have just sent it.
Full send.
Send. And so the story behind that is, too, I terminate, and then other troopers pick it up, like, downtown KC and just chase that thing all over the freaking place. And I don't remember what happened, but a guy ends up crashing out, so I don't know what happened to them. But I'm like, God dang, I freaking terminated within, like, I don't know, 2.5 minutes or something like that. But... you know,
yeah,
is what I guess that's the perk of having the SME as your supervisor.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he knows what he's doing. SMEs are awesome.
Yeah. All right, so let's get down to the real questions. All that other stuff was just nonsense we talked about.
That's the icebreaker.
This is the real deal. Do you have time for one more question?
I got time for as many as you need.
Yeah. Well, you're retired. What am I talking about?
Man,
yeah.
Every day
I'm the one on a schedule here. I don't know what I'm freaking talking about. All right. So you worked the road. Was it 10 years? How long were you on the road?
11 and a half.
Okay. First off, let me say this. I have pooped my pants on duty. Let me make that clear to everybody. I'm not trying to get around it.
Are you supposed to feign shock or something?
Yeah, I'm not trying to get around it. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. I've done it. I would say most guys have done it, whether intentional or unintentional. Mm. So my question to you, the most serious question of the evening, at any point during your 11 and a half career, did you poop your pants, however slight?
So as I look right now, there have been many a sharks. So... yes, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, on the road and then even in the office, right?
Oh.
Sitting there doing stuff in my office.
What?
I gotta go. Nope, didn't make it.
There was a bathroom like 15 feet from you. I understand the road. Wait a second.
Yeah. He just got caught up in his work.
Yeah, didn't make it.
Yeah, you're writing my pursuit review, and you're like, oh, God, you just pooped your pants. So were any of them non-recoverable where you had to go home and just completely change out of your uniform?
No, luckily I had shorts. Well, yeah, one of my, I was on the road. I was on my way home, didn't make it home. So, yeah, I definitely had to change uniforms at that point in time. But at the academy there, luckily I had extra clothes in the change room. So, yeah, I changed out and trashed the others.
So. Trashed them? God.
Wow, yeah, that's intense.
That's serious business. Yeah, if you're trashing them, you've done some damage.
Well, you know how I was there towards the end. I was awful stressed, and I'll tell you what, retirement, I didn't know how stressed I was until I retired. The day after I retired, I kind of went, well, so I retired on a Friday. On Monday morning, I was working for my son. On Monday morning, I was like, wow, this is different. This is different. I didn't know how much stress I put on myself.
Yeah.
Until I was out, right? Until I was out. But that caused
lots of medical issues, lots of problems. And I did it for, and whether you know this or not, but I did it for you guys and gals. I mean, I wasn't there because I wanted it. I was there because I cared about who was there. I cared about who was coming in. I cared about the agency. So.
Yeah, and like I said, you and I, I'll give you credit, you and I had like a lot of personal conversations on, I would say on duty, I guess, but yeah, you always said that, and I appreciate that. You know, looking back, I'm going, oh, wow, you know, Joey did this and he did that, and I didn't even really realize it at the time, so I kind of feel bad that I wasn't even acknowledging it, but I just didn't know. But I enjoyed you as a supervisor. I thought you were awesome. You're very laid back. You know, when something needed to be done, you said, hey, this has to be done. When it was something that, you know, you kind of thought was nonsense, you'd say, well, you know, I don't agree with this, but, you know, here's what has to be done. And, you know, here's who wants it and here's why. And that I always appreciated. So yeah, man, I you were awesome as a supervisor. I thought you were great. For me, it was like, I feel like I don't need a lot of oversight, if you will. And you gave me the right amount of oversight, yeah. Which was like, if you need something, come to me. Other than that, keep on keeping on. And that means a lot to me because that's the way that I respond to supervision. So I, again, on a personal level, I really appreciate you and I appreciate you supervising me that way.
Yeah, no, thank you for what you do and what you did, what you do, what you continue to do. I mean, you demand a lot better than what I was.
No, shoot. Sure.
I'll leave if you guys need to have like a full bromance over here.
We're about to start making out. Yeah. We're about to start making out via.
This is about to be webcam weirdness online. Over here.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, hey, I appreciate you coming on. And man, that was great. I loved your insight because you mentioned things that I'm like, yeah, I didn't even think about that. And I can't wait to, I'm going to send this to my guys that listen to this and say, hey, you got to check this episode out. This was great. So are you going to do it again?
Sure. I'm retired now. So
bring it on
the next topic.
Yeah, no, I got a great, I would love to talk to you about just training in general and maybe getting some donations to get you a haircut and maybe a shave.
Hey, Kayla said she wants me to in the man bun, so I'm gonna do my man bun and
hey and next go, but yeah, see next, a man next bun. Time you're on here I expect a man bun.
Mm-hmm.
I could pull it up in one now. I just don't do it.
God, that would be classic. Hey, and if I ever see you and you have a coffee cup and I throw change in it because I think you're a homeless guy, just ignore me. Mm-hmm. I'll get you a different cup of coffee.
Well, you know, I do need to start that GoFundMe page, so I'll have you help me with that because I'm not good at web design like you all are.
Yeah, you let me know, man. I'll hook you up on that. You know that I'll be like, this guy really needs a haircut.
Down
on his luck.
Mm-hmm.
Retired.
Yeah.
I'll give you the last word.
Going gray.
Well, yeah, I think you were gray. I think when I was in the academy, that's probably work that did that too.
I got rid of some of the gray on the sides, but I never grew it out on my face. So
that's true.
It's on my face now, but not so much on the top anymore. So less stress. I got my color back on my head.
Nice. Because I'm starting to get grays on the side of my head. Maybe I need to look into, I don't know, retiring 19 years early.
Yeah, should work out.
Yeah, I bet that'll work out just fine. okay, anything else, Joey, you want to say to the listeners? And I'll say this, a lot of our guys and gals listen to this, so is there anything you kind of want to say to them or a message to, I guess we have listeners in Canada and really all over the country, so any kind of message you want to give to them before we take off?
Yeah, no, I just want to say keep doing the work that you're doing. Keep yourself safe, right? Do whatever you can to improve your abilities. Get into to leadership classes. Get into reading books that and Ryan, you know this. You do this all the time. Get into the reading books that will help improve you as a person and you with your family. I know my family suffered because of my career, my kids as well as my spouse. Right. Pay attention to your family. Pay attention to your family. Make sure that you're safe. We talked a lot about policy today. And as an administrator, they're looking at policy, right? They're looking at policy. So you're not going to know every single policy. You're not going to know whether you're right or wrong sometimes. Just tell the truth, right? Just say, hey, this is what I did. This is why I did it. What do I need to change? Teach me, right? And be open to that change. And hopefully, things will change for this profession, because we've been in a long stretch of downs for this profession where yep. we're, and I'm not talking about everywhere, right? There's places in Missouri where they love us. They love any police officer. They love any fireman. They love any EMS, fire personnel. Or, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, any first responder, right? Any military. But there are places that hate us still. And those people that hate us outweigh the people that really care about us, but know that there are good people out there that care for you, right? And if you need help, call your buddy, right? Call your buddy. Seek help. Don't go alone, right? I tried going it alone for a long time, and it wears on you, right? Yeah. You got to have someone that you can rely on, that you can talk to, that you know, you can hash things out. Whether you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter, as long as you can just discuss it with them, right? So keep it up. I wish I could have stayed longer. I really enjoyed it, but it was time for me to go. And enjoy the life afterwards, right? Now, my dad told me several times, hey, I'm going to drain the system dry. I'm going to drain the system dry.
Yeah. Because
when he retired, he wanted to live forever. He's gone now, so I'm taking over, and I'm going to drain the system dry.
I just have no retirement because of Joey.
Yeah, and that beard.
No retirement. Why is that? Because I'm going to take it all?
Yeah, you're draining it all. We got to spend it all on haircuts and shaves for you.
Yeah. Hey, you need to get Harry the barber back up there, and I'll come up and get my cut.
Hey, we're thinking about getting a barber up. That's actually true. I pitched that idea just the other day. Yeah.
At the academy, yeah, or is that headquarters?
Yeah, at the academy. I think I got a hookup. So
don't let Maloney get a hold of those clippers or scissors.
Oh gosh, yeah, we want to get started on her tonight. I hope she's listening to this. You know what you do, lady. Hey Joey, I appreciate you being on here, man. I just had a blast listening to you, and you know, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your insight, because like I said, I feel like you were always there in my career, you know, for at least the first, gosh, what, 9 years or whatever. I think I've been there almost 10 now. So definitely miss you. Appreciate everything you did for me, because I feel like you looked out for me a lot. And honestly, probably without you, I wouldn't have went to the academy. So I really do, I can't overstate how much I appreciate what you did for me, and kind of the role that you played in my career. So you being on here means a lot to me.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you too, and what you've done throughout your career, not just with us, but with the other agencies as well. And hey, look at your lovely wife right there, and your daughter too. Keep them safe, man. Keep them safe.
Appreciate that, Joey. Hey, we'll let you go, man. Yeah, I want to have you back on. There's so many more things I want to talk about, but gosh, I think I told you 50 minutes, and we're freaking an hour and 25. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, dude, I want to, you know. If you can make time in your busy schedule, you know, sober or not sober.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not sober is even better, because I'll be sure that I'm half cocked next time we do it.
I'll just have to plan on making a trip down there and sitting beside you all.
Oh, dude, that'd be freaking sweet.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be badass to be here. Hell yeah. So yeah, appreciate it. So what's going to happen when you get off here? Your phone's going to upload for a little bit. I'm not sure how much it's uploaded right now.
It says 81%.
81%. So basically, as you're talking and as we're recording this, it'll upload. So you may have to leave the app open just for a little bit to finish uploading, if you don't mind. But other than that, man, miss you, and I appreciate you being on here.
Yep, not a problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, see you, Joey.
Nice seeing you again.
Yep.
Bye.
See you.
Yeah, take care, y'all. Bye.
What do you think?
That was good.
That was maybe one, as far as like information.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That was probably one of the top five.
Yeah. good discussion. Normally such a good dude.
Yeah, normally I'm just talking about shitting pants and farting.
Yeah, which is very informative, but you know, there's only so much you can say about it.
God, that was good.
Yeah,
I do miss him. Now that I mean, I'm just
he's a good dude.
I'm like, God, I miss this guy. I
get it. Like, I get it. I 100% get the reason of like having to step away because you just care too much.
Yeah,
and it doesn't seem like anybody else around you does. I get it.
Yeah, that was just. Yeah, I mean, I almost got emotional there.
I know. Like, I love that for you guys. Yeah. It's a very good. It's a very good dynamic that you guys have in terms of. Because, you know, he wasn't your first supervisor, but he was your first, you know, supervisor in this type of role, which is which we've talked about a little bit about, you know, the role at the academy is very, you know, much more autonomous and very much like specialized. And like you are kind of your own leader. You are your own entity, and figuring out how to navigate time management and work-life balance and all of those other factors that come along with some of those roles that are not necessarily shift work is in itself a challenge. So he was your first kind of look into doing that.
Yeah, he was my first, like, I mean, he was my direct supervisor, but what I mean is like kind of indirect, because he wasn't right there in my business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he did a lot of things, like even just allowing me to continue working D-dubs and, you know, approving my reports, which is something that most people at the academy don't have to do, because, I mean, I'm not knocking anybody, but a lot of folks don't go out and work the road still. So, you know, he was, I'd say, hey, Joey, I've got 12 D-dubs that need approved. And, oh, yeah, no problem. You know, he'd get right on it. So, yeah, I miss him.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, towards the end there, I could, like, his physical, like, his health was taking a toll. You could tell that he was just, it was wearing on him. And so I'm glad that he's loving retirement, because I think sometimes with really engaged and really dedicated people, sometimes whenever they retire and they take a step away, they lose that sense of kind of purpose or meaning or what they're supposed to be doing. But it seems like he's found that with his other work that he's doing, and and maybe some of the areas that he didn't do well at during his career.
Yeah.
But I, you know, you just kind of worry that sometimes whenever people retire, it's not gonna be the sunshine and the glory that people say it will be.
Right. Yeah. No, I would say that you know, if this episode has kind of brought me anything, it would be that, you know, recognize your recognize your supervisors, that treat you right and do a good job, and maybe tell them every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, because I look back, I've been blessed with a ton of great people that have supervised me. And at the time, you think, okay, yeah, they, you know, they know that I appreciate them, but I'm just not sure that, you know, I said it as much as I should.
Yeah. So. One of my biggest mentors in any kind of leadership was like, you know, Smee. People don't come to leadership or administration to say, hey, everything's going well and great. Yeah. So basically, don't hold your breath for that. In a way, you know, that if you're going to do this job, don't do it for recognition or pats on the backs, which again, some will come if you do things, but that's not what you should be holding your breath for. You should be waking up every day looking for problems to solve and people to serve and things to do that help your team out. That you may or may not ever get thanked for, and you should know that going in. So don't go in for that reason.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, completely. So, I had something you popped another thought in my mind, but I don't remember what it was. But yeah, you know, acknowledge her, tell your guys that you appreciate them, and you know, not just subordinates, but the people above you. So you know, I know that without a doubt, he loved. Capital L-O-V-E-D, loved the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there was times I'd show up at like 2 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. He was there working.
Mm.
I'm like, dude, you know, and then I would leave at 6 or 7 at night. He was still working. So anyway, yeah, I can't tell him, you know, I know I've said it, gosh, probably 10, 15 times, but I just so much appreciate what he did and the kind of the part that he played in my career. And I was, you know, humbled that he was on here.
Yeah. No, it was a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
Mentor-mentee dynamic.
Yeah. Final thoughts, May? You want to move into that?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like we kind of final thoughted it up there.
Hang on. Let me final thoughts it real quick.
Your final thoughts?
Yeah, hang on a
second. Oh, you have to pull your final thoughts dashboard?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and talk while you say that. But I think
Wait. Final thoughts.
I think overall, I think he's a good dude. I miss seeing him at the work functions. Just one of those, just good guys, you know. Good conversation. Very, very intelligent. Very dedicated. Yes, he loved the agency. He loved it, and so, you know, I'm glad. But I'm also glad that he's spending some time on him now and doing the things that he wants to do and spend time with people he wants to spend time with. So I think that's a good reward for his service. I also had a passing thought or a question that I wrote down. And it seems like, again, because I had asked about what kind of actions or suggested course of actions came out of, you know, any kind of disciplinary situation. And the answer that I got, to my understanding, was that there aren't any like recommended actions, like you should have done this or this would have been better in this situation. Is that my understanding? That's not how you guys really receive feedback on those type of things?
Yeah, for the most part, I would say, as far as being disciplined, I have not been disciplined. I've been disciplined one time. That was for crashing a car into a light pole, which was my fault.
Which was super hard to argue with because you straight up hit that thing.
I did it. Like, I didn't even. And here's the deal. My supervisor at this time is like, hey, you can fight this if you want to. I'm like, dude, I freaking nailed that light pole. I have nothing to fight. So, you know, from a disciplinary standpoint, I have not been disciplined. I don't think it's for a lack of effort.
For trying.
But, you know, I think that I, again, go back to, I've been blessed with people above me that have realized that I do have always the right intentions, or what I believe is the right intentions in mind. So, but yeah, from my understanding, there's not necessarily like, oh, you should have done this. It mm-hmm. is just, oh, well, this is what you did wrong.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, dude, freaking, you know, a blind guy could tell me that. What would you have done? You know what I'm saying? And that's what pisses me off. But
yeah, and I think that's, again, one of those kind of differences in just the type of industry and organization that you're a part of. It is much more that militaristic, authoritative environment. Because with any type of like counseling or disciplinary action, you had to provide what a correct course of action would have been in that situation. In the industries that I've been in. And so it just seems like, again, there's several reasons why I'm not in law enforcement, but yeah, just that, okay, well, how would have you done it? Or what would have been better in this situation? That time to take that perspective and to communicate that perspective so that hopefully the individual can learn from that experience going forward.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily exist, but you have case law that tells you what not to do, but you don't have really anything that tells you what to do.
You know, I think there's a lot of times they don't know.
Yeah.
They just go, well,
they just know that was wrong. This
wasn't within policy, so let's write them up versus, mm-hmm. hey, here's what we could have done.
Yeah. Here's what might have been better. And then again, taking that and learning going forward or what the situation, you know, again, you're not going to encounter the exact situation, the exact circumstances again in the future, but you can pull from something and then maybe making a more informed decision the next time something happens.
Yeah.
So I think that was the one thing that picked me up, is that you have case law and plenty of it to tell you what not to do, but there's nothing in the form of a disciplinary action or anything like that that tells you, you know, in this situation, this is what you should do going forward.
Agreed.
So that's unfortunate because it doesn't seem like you can win.
Set up for failure, baby.
Yeah.
So I want to read a text I just got from Joey real quick. It says, he forgot to mention that in his opinion, 30 days is way too much for this incident. He said, yeah, he did a great job. Maybe he violated policy, but 30 days is way too much.
So he didn't get disciplined until after 30 days? Is that what you're saying?
No, he got a 30-day suspension.
The trooper did. Well, that was going to be one of my follow-up questions, too, is whether or not the punishment matched the crime, air quote.
No. Okay. Let me answer that question.
Okay.
No, it does not.
Because, yeah, there's a difference in, like, okay, a slap on the wrist and then, you know, full out, like, taking your knees out underneath you. So I didn't know, So he said that, no, the punishment does not fit the air quote crime.
Yeah. I mean, okay. My thing is, okay, if he did something wrong, give him a counseling report. Hey, dude, just don't, you know, I get it. You did this. It was the right thing to do. Let's all acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. Let's all grow a set of gonads and say, you did the right thing, and that was a hell of a job. This is trooper badass, in my opinion. But if you just go, I have to do something, do a counseling report, which is doesn't even stay in your file for very long, and move on.
What were the circumstances around the situation that made it so inflamed?
Crappy policy.
Was it just a crappy policy, or was like the chick that he pitted like the governor's niece or something?
I don't care if it was the freaking president's daughter.
That's not what I'm saying. It shouldn't matter, but we all are not going to shit ourselves and say that it doesn't. So that's my question is if this incident was so inflamed because of some other BS.
If you want my opinion?
Yeah.
In my opinion, their no pursuit policy is fairly fresh, and they were making an example of this guy. That's my opinion, for what it's worth, which is not a whole lot. But you know, you got people that are writing you up for doing the right thing. That is cowardly leadership. That is poor leadership, and you have done nothing but just absolutely destroy the morale of your people, and you've probably cause them to now not make decisions that they know to be right. And that's bullshit. That's my first cuss word on this episode, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. We're at, oh my gosh, hour and 40 minutes here. Is that it on your final thoughts?
Yeah.
Do you want to compliment my hat that I'm from Texas?
Yeah.
Were you going to ask me if I'm from Texas?
I was going to ask about Texas's pursuit policy.
It's just, I'm sure it's, I don't know what it is, but it's got to be the greatest.
The only rule is you have to chase them on horseback.
you have to make sure they crash. Okay, you done?
Yeah.
Final thoughts? All right, cool. So my final thoughts, which I feel like I've said them all, but no, I think it was bullshit that the trooper got disciplined at all, personally. He did the right thing. I don't care what anybody says. If it was me in that situation, I'm doing the exact same thing. In fact, I would do a worse job. There's not a doubt about it that I'm probably just rolling three cars. Who knows? He did a great job. I would be very proud if I was him. I would hold my head up high. I would understand his bullshit. I would probably move on, honestly, to a different agency if they're going to treat me that way. But I just support that 110%. And if somehow I could get who that was, which I probably could, I would send him some merch.
Yeah, you probably could.
I'm going to. Mm-hmm. So, no, he did a hell of a job, and I appreciate Joey being on here, and I miss him.
Yeah, I miss Joey, too. He's a good guy.
So, all right. We done?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, I got to do one more thing real quick before we take off here. Let's see. All right, got my wet fart out of the way. All right, appreciate you guys listening. Hopefully this was informative. It was for me. Just be safe. Do the right thing always, even if you get disciplined for it. I mean, do the right thing. You guys know what that is. So appreciate you listening. Be sure to chase cars and not promotions. And eventually we'll actually have a list of trainings that's going to be going on in 2025. Maybe maybe the next episode. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Of where we're going to be at. So appreciate it. You guys stay safe. And Bird, you suck for not being here and cleaning out your closet. Peace.